are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It is October 16th, can you believe it? 2023, a beautiful fall day here in the Philadelphia area. And I pray that your hearts are on fire for the Lord today. Let us begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we offer up this program to you, to your Immaculate Heart and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We pray on this special feast day of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque that your Sacred Heart will prevail and all who listen and all who want to listen but can't. We pray that this program transforms all those who desire a special relationship with you. And dear Blessed Mother, the month of the Holy Rosary, we consecrate this program to you, to your Immaculate Heart. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, my friends, we've had, really, since last week, just a heart-wrenching week of sadness and so many things happening in the world. And so let us pray for all those who've lost their lives, the innocents, the children, the women, the men, in all different cultures, and let us really and truly pray for peace in this world. And this is why I really wanted to have a different type of program today, an uplifting program with an old friend of mine, Eddie Morris, who hasn't been on in a while. Eddie always has amazing God stories, a God of hope, a God of surprises, a God of mercy, in which we need to keep our focus. So many of you know Ed, also known as Eddie Mo, as a retired entrepreneur, a philanthropist, a husband, a father, a grandfather. He's the founder of Team Hope, which we've talked about for years and years and years, Team Hope. And also, he is the founder of a magnificent prayer meeting that's held at St. Norbert's Prayer Community, and I'm sure he'll be sharing some more news about that on the program. But most importantly, if you're feeling down and out, here's the guy that shares about God's surprises, his surprises of hope in the midst of desperation, in the midst of despair. And I love the stories because he truly, truly expects God to work. See, that's the key to all of our lives. We need, no matter what is going on in the world, what is happening in our personal lives, we need to expect God to surprise us. Now, it may not be a surprise that we really want. How many times have we prayed for something? The Lord always answers us. And sometimes the answer is no. But other times it's yes, and it may be in a different way. See, that's the beauty of Ed's testimonies, because he always is surprised by God's intervention in so many different ways. And this is why I wanted him on. He's busy today and tonight with the Phillies. So I'm laughing because even in the midst of the excitement about the Phillies, Ed would take time out of his schedule to share the good news about Jesus with all of you, our special listeners. Don't ever underestimate Ed's love for the Lord, never, because he truly, even in the midst of the Phillies or the Eagles or world wars, and I know that that seems really ridiculous in comparison to what's happening around the world, but maybe you're going through a divorce, or you've been just told you've had cancer, or you've lost your job, or your children do not go to church, and you think, I pray and pray and pray like St. Monica, and nothing ever happens. Nothing ever happens. So this is the beauty of Ed's witnesses, because he has his hand on the lives of so many people in so many areas, and he genuinely cares about the walk of different people. You see, he, from the streets of Kensington with the drug addicts and the lost and forsaken, placing divine mercy images on the walls of buildings or handing out rosary beads from our Pope, to hosting these prayer meetings where busloads of young people attend. It's amazing how God uses him. You know, he's used him in the boardroom, I'm sure, over his lifetime. But I love the stories of the little person on the street. The little person on the street, how God intervenes. So make sure you tell your friends to tune in. We'll have Eddie Morris with us in a few minutes. And I can't wait, because I have no idea what the stories are today of how God is surprising him and the people that he loves and the strangers on the street, the young people, and what God has in store for all of us. So if you're driving down the Schuylkill Expressway and you're feeling kind of down and out and you're scared, this is the program for you to provide hope. It is a message of hope. And this is why it's called Thy Will Be Done, because we are about the will of God the Father, not our own will, but that of God the Father and of His Blessed Mother Mary. And today at Mass, you know, when the priest said, well, we're going to do the readings of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque for her feast day, I sat up in the pew like, I didn't know today was this feast day. In many programs we've done on really enthroning our homes to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So during this broadcast, let us enthrone our hearts to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, our families, our businesses, our parishes to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. For like no other time in history do we need the hand of the Lord.
Heads on the line.
Oh, Eddie, welcome. It's so good to have you live on the air.
Hello, Ann. How are you?
It's been way too long since you've been on the air with me.
Yeah, but I miss it. I love being on the radio. I love all your listeners. They're all great people.
Well, Eddie, let's start first. Can you give us an update on our beautiful friend Tommy McCoy, also known as Farmer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He may even be listening here. You know, he had has stage four cancer, and what's interesting is for 5 years, his nickname is Farmer, and he sends out a prayer to 6,000 people every day, a list of people that need prayers, and 6,000 people get his text, and they say a prayer for those people. Monday we pray for men, Tuesdays for children, Wednesday for women, Thursdays for seniors, and Fridays for families. And so it's amazing. But then all of a sudden, Farmer got sick. And he needed to be on the list. And guess what? It was tough for him to accept the challenge. And we had a lot of long chats. And I said, hey, Farmer, 5 years, you sent out these prayer requests to people. Now they all want to pray for you. You got to give it a shot, buddy. Everybody cares. Everybody's praying for you. And prayers work. And he said, okay. And then the power of the prayer of our 6,000 strong army of prayer warriors gave him the confidence to fight it out. And he's certainly doing better. He's got a lot of work to go. But he was bedridden for a while. And now he got up to a walker and even took a vacation down the shore with his family. And he's got a lot of grandkids. He's got them in Catholic schools. And he's fighting his tail off, getting stronger. And he attributes a lot of it to everybody that prayed for him.
Well, Farmer, if you're listening, we're adding to the 6,000 plus I don't know how many people around the world will be praying for you and have been praying for you in a very special way all these months, and know that you are loved. I pray that you are listening in a special way. You know, Eddie, how many times have you heard people who love to intercede and pray for others but have a hard time accepting prayers of others for their own lives? It's hard, isn't it?
Without question, as a matter of fact, you know, I think about that myself a lot. You know, I love doing things for other people. Love it. I mean, it actually, last week I was having a terrible week. And, you know, life in general goes up and down, up and down, up and down. Even though I'm a positive person and all that, I get up and down. And last week I was just miserable. And I said, you know what? I got to get out and do things for people. And I filled up my calendar with good deeds. I just went out there and started doing things. And all of a sudden, I was in a better mood. Everything, I got happy again. But the reason why I say that is while I was doing that, I said to myself, you know, I'm not good at receiving any help or prayers or gifts or anything. People always say, hey, what can I do for you? I always nothing. My answer is always nothing. And I'm not good at it. And we have to get good at that because Farmer wasn't good at it. And he flunked with a red F when I told him we're all trying to help him. He goes, no, I'll be good. But now he's very good at it. And now he's taught me a lot because he's learned to receive the prayers. And the beauty of that is, you know, people are dying to do good things for other people. And when you deny them the opportunity to do good things, you're not allowing them to get happy, or you're not allowing them to do the things that they want to do. They want to help. So you have to accept it so people can get out there and do good things and feel better about themselves. You have a moral responsibility to accept these gifts.
Yeah, we have. I think we've missed the mark, Ed, in that God wants to give us the grace as intercessors and also to receive the graces for our own lives. I knew it for a long time, years and years ago, I had a hard time praying for myself. I would think that's selfish. And I don't even know where that started. But you see over and over again how the Lord wants to bless those who need prayer, like Farmer. Dear Lord, the man has prayed for 6,000 people a day for how many years?
5 years.
And now it's his turn.
Without question. Yeah, and guess what? It worked. You know, it worked. I mean, he was in bad shape, but he's in better shape now. And so, we attribute it to the prayers. And the other thing is, because we pray to sick, we have 6,000 people that pray for whoever needs it, we've seen so many amazing things. And I'll give you a great example. Last Monday, a friend of mine called me up and said, Ed, his friend was working out. He collapsed. He had a heart attack on the spot. He's been unconscious for 45 minutes. Let's put him on today's list. It was Monday morning, and on Monday we pray for men. Well, we immediately put him on the list, and we prayed for him. And then at the end of last week, I got a text from my friend Kevin, and he said, you can't believe it, but he's communicating, he's talking, he's up. He has a lot more work to do. But here's the beauty. The doctor said he had no shot of living, and now he is. And he fell down in the morning on last Monday, and in the afternoon at 3 o'clock, Farmer sent the prayer out, and now he's doing so much better. But the doctor said they've never seen it, and Farmer and I and our friends, we always laugh. We've seen 20 or 30 of these examples, and we absolutely know prayer works. And actually, on November 21 is our next friendship celebration, and the theme is prayers work. And we're going to talk about how prayers work. And you talked about earlier about how people may pray to God and nothing happens. And they're like, oh, come on, I need something. I need help, God, right now. And nothing happens. Well, it's sooner or later it's going to happen. Something good will happen, and God's timing is always perfect. But maybe he doesn't want you to have something different happen to you right now. Maybe your gift is to continue to have to pray to him, because when you pray to him, you're talking to him. when you pray to him, you're right with him. And he loves that. So in many ways, your pain is a gift because it takes you right to him. When you're praying, you're right with God. If everything was perfect, you may never pray. And guess what? You may never be close to our Lord. So your pain is difficult, but it is time that you devote to the Lord, and he loves that. He loves when you go to him for prayer. That's his favorite thing. Hey, Ann's talking to me now. Hey, Farmer's talking to me now. Hey, Eddie Moe's talking to me now. We're his best friend. He's our best friend. And when you pray, you strengthen that friendship.
Well, Eddie, tell our listeners, again, even though you've been on with me before, you know, we have all new listeners all the time. Tell the listeners what in the world will be happening at St. Norbert's in Paoli. And tell our listeners how it's not a collection of holy people who have it all together. Explain the environment of this prayer meeting.
Okay, great. And, well, it's on November 21 at St. Norbert's at 7 o'clock, and we will have a St. Patrick Pio glove there with us. But it's really just a bunch of regular people. We had a couple friends 5 years ago that simultaneously all got sick. And a bunch of us said, wow, we can't have a beef and beer. They're in comas. They're very sick. We got to get into a church. So on a Sunday night, we texted around, said, hey, St. Dennis Church is open Monday night. Everybody get to St. Dennis Church. We're going to pray for Lefty. We're going to pray for other people. And 300 people showed up. And we all were like, wow, now what do we do? None of us knew what to do. But we grabbed some prayers out of the gospel in the Matthew section where the healing prayers are. And five or six people read a prayer. At that event, Farmer came up to me and said, hey, Ed, a couple other people, we were praying for my buddy Lefty at that point. And he said, a couple other people asked if we could pray for them too. And I said, well, let me ask the Snyder family, Lefty's family, if it's okay to share his prayers with them. They said, okay. And we added two or three other people that we prayed for. That was 5 years ago. Now we pray to thousands of people. We have thousands of people praying. And yeah, like I say, we pray for men, women, children, seniors, and families all the time. It's never stopped. So the people at this event are just like you, me, and the listeners, a bunch of normal people. And instead of having a beef and beer, they said, let's do something more important. Let's do something that could really work right now. And Lefty, who was in a coma, let's pray for him because it's the only thing we can do. We're not doctors. We're not millionaires. But Lefty is in a coma. He needs prayers. So we prayed for him, and he ended up getting better. He's since passed, but he had four good years after that event. And so many other people had gotten sick, and we prayed for them. And many people have gotten better. But the bottom line is just an average Joe, an average Jane, that you pull off the street. We go there. We're good friends. And everybody in the church knows that if anybody needs help, we call ourselves Team Hope, that we'll help each other. Whatever it takes, we'll help. But we start with a prayer.
What time does it start, Ed?
7 o'clock, and it's over at 8:30. And guess what? We got our great friend Dennis Cicchino, who I also think is listening right now. He's a tremendous musician. He's been playing music for 50 years. And he's there with a band, a full rock and roll band. We played the Grateful Dead music in the church last time. Grateful Dead. We played Lynyrd Skynyrd. We played The Who. We played Beatles. But this night is it used to be called a prayer service. But now we call it a friendship celebration. We're celebrating our friendships. And at the first time I had an event, I looked in the crowd. I knew everybody in there. Now we've had 35 of these events. I look in the audience. I think I know 20% of the people. The word got out that here's a fun night in a church with a bunch of upbeat, positive people. They play rock and roll. They have general guys like Farmer, me, Dennis, anybody get up there and say a couple things at the microphone, whatever comes to our mind. And then we play fun music, and we just have a blast. And we never, ever realized how fun a church can be. So we make it fun. The whole goal is to make it fun.
Well, tell our listeners how you've had busloads of high school kids come in.
Yeah.
And how it changed their lives. You know, kids that, oh, I don't want to go. And what happened to them?
Exactly. One of our speakers, Joe DiBarberi, he always, we call him the closer. I always give him the last speech. But he's a baseball coach at Monsignor Bonner High School. Well, he brought 66 other baseball players to one of our events, and they've been to several events. Well, they came, and, you know, they all sat together like, what the heck are we doing in this church with a bunch of these old people? And it was a bunch of young kids. They all wore their Bonner green sweaters, school sweaters. And they sat there, and they had a blast. They said, wow. And us experienced people have wisdom. When you speak in, you have tremendous wisdom. When older people with experience speak, they have wisdom. And the young kids heard it. And also our speakers are normal people. So they say, wow, these people are normal. Because like I went to Archbishop Carroll. When the baseball players are there, we'll talk about our baseball years. We all identify with them. And they had a blast. And then they came back. And the Cardinal O'Hara baseball team was there. Archbishop Carroll baseball team was there. And we had some lacrosse teams there. And so the kids arrive. And we also have the kids speak, too. And then one time, the shortstop for Monsignor Bonner is the best baseball player in the Philadelphia area. He actually got drafted by the Detroit Tigers this year. Well, he spoke. Well, when this young boy spoke, he's 18 years old, many of the local kids from the local high schools came to hear him. So now we had an 18-year-old kid speaking, and he thanked God for all his baseball skills. He showed his faith, and all the kids heard that, and they loved it. And, you know, now our audience has a good percentage of the people that arrive are young people, and we want to get younger. So it's just a fun night. Everybody always says, boy, when I come to that night, Ed, there's just a mood in the air, something special. You can just feel it. The second you walk in, you can absolutely feel something special. And it truly is. It's nothing but hope, positive talk, and people finding something positive in a challenge that they have in their life. We've had people get up there with cancer or very sick or a death in the family, and they've got up there and they've said, my faith gets me through this major challenge. And they say they don't know why it happened to them, but they do say that without their faith, they would not be able to get through it. So it's just great messages all around.
You've had Bernie Perrant there.
Everybody
should
have. And I know
Flyer people listening. Why in the world would Bernie Perrant want to be with Eddie Morris in a church on a Thursday night?
That's right. Yeah, Bernie Perrant, he usually attends. And he drives over an hour away. He lives way up in Bucks County. He drives over an hour, and he's 76 years old. You know, it's tough. But he arrives, and he just knows it's a good mood there. At our last event, we had Fran Dunphy spoke, the great Division I basketball coach. He was a speaker. And he coached at Penn, at Temple, and he's currently at LaSalle. He's one of the winningest Division I basketball coaches in the country. He spoke. And he said, wow, this is a very special night. Everybody sees it, you know, and there's a lot of athletes in the room. And the word's gotten out there. It's just a fun night.
Well, I don't know if anyone is just tuning in or not, but our special guest is Ed Morris, retired entrepreneur, philanthropist, husband, father, proud grandfather, and founder of Team Hope. And we're talking about the friendship meetings at St. Norbert's. The next one is November 21st at 7 p.m. And we're also talking about, you know, if you're praying and praying and you don't believe that God answers your prayers, Ed has seen over and over again how God has acted with his love, compassion, and mercy in impossible times. And is this prayer movement is even attracting young people? And you're saying, oh, my nephew, my son, my grandson, they don't even go to church. But they're coming to this, quote, prayer/friendship meeting to hear the word of God, to hear witnessing, but it's not shoving it down their throats. You know, it's very uplifting, very positive. and lives are changing. So I want you to share in a couple minutes some other stories of what's been happening with you on the streets, of what's been happening, you know, in terms of your ministry, or have you been in a quiet phase? Are you in a quiet phase, or you're still rolling out into the streets doing God's work?
Well, that's funny. We always have new things going on. This prayer service we have coming up, we took about a 4 or 5 month break, and we're kind of reinventing it a little bit. And so after we did 35 of them, you always got to reinvent anything you do in life, whether it's how your family sits down to dinner. It's always good to reinvent everything, give it a little tweak somehow. So on this one, Farmer's going to speak, and Farmer. You know, Farmer spoke at every one of our events, but he had gotten sick. He hasn't spoken in almost a year. So everybody hopes, I said, Farmer, instead of taking their regular little 8-minute speech that we give, I want you to take 20 minutes because you have a major, major message. You were down. You didn't want to fight it out, but the prayers gave you the confidence to begin fighting again. And he's going to get up there, and I have no idea what he's going to say. But I will guarantee you it's a grand slam because of where he's been. So Farmer's going to speak about 20 minutes. And then another lady, Marie Keith, is going to speak. And her son, Cole, was in a terrible motorcycle accident. And Monsignor Chifo from St. Mary Magdalene called me up, said, Eddie, you got to get the glove to him. I said, I don't even know him. You got to get the glove to him. So I rushed down to the hospital. There was Cole, completely out. Tubes everywhere, broken bones everywhere, and no one thought he would make it. And we placed the Padre Pio glove on him. Well, the bottom line is, 2 months ago, Cole's mother got remarried, and Cole danced with her at the wedding. And his mother, Marie, is going to speak about that whole event. And it's amazing because I'll tell you a funny story. Marie married a guy, a Jewish man. And he saw, and this taught me a lot. Cole got in the accident, all of a sudden, all these Catholic people started showing up. Priests, nuns, anybody praying, me with the Padre Pio glove. And you could just tell this guy was like, wow, look at this machine, this praying machine in motion right now. And Marie, the wife, said, well, you can't believe what my husband is considering. He's considering converting over to our religion because he couldn't believe what he just saw. And young Cole is walking and danced with her. He saw the whole thing from a bunch of people with tremendous hope and faith praying, and a bunch of people that would do anything for Marie and her injured son, Cole. He saw it all. And he said, you know what? This is amazing. And he's Jewish. It always made me so proud to be Catholic because we really had an impact on him, and he has a big faith now because of what he saw and how it worked and how the prayers worked.
Well, Eddie, stay on the line. We're going to be sharing some more time with you, I pray. And my friends, right after this commercial break, we'll be back with Eddie Morris.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done. And our special guest today is my friend, Eddie Morris, a retired entrepreneur, philanthropist, husband, father, and proud grandfather, founder of Team Hope. And we're discussing many different topics, but specifically about God's power, His mercy, and the desire to be hope-filled, no matter what condition you're in today, physically, emotionally, or spiritually, God has a plan for you. And November 21st at 7 p.m. at St. Norbert's in Paoli, Pennsylvania, which is just down the road from Villanova University. If you're not familiar, it's not that far from Villanova. Be sure to attend from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And oh my, what a powerful evening it will be. So, Eddie, I know you're either headed to the Phillies game tonight or you're at the Phillies stadium mm-hmm. right now for the big game. And I'm so happy. Are you there yet?
No, I'm getting picked up at 5 o'clock. But, you know what, guess what? I'm having more fun now than I will at the Phillies game because right now I'm talking about God and I'm with you and your audience. So that's an actual true statement. The game will be that much greater for me because I know I spent one hour prior to the game talking about our Lord. So how great that. So my mind will be right. I'll sit in that stadium, and if the Phillies win, great. And if they lose 50 to nothing, I'll be still happy because I just spent 1 hour talking about God. It's a great day. No question about it.
Well, you know what, Ed? I know that some men who may be listening, some women are thinking, sure, you would rather talk about God than the Phillies tonight. Tell our listeners how you arrived at this place. Most people aren't there yet.
Oh, I'm so there. I guess what? Everybody can get there. I was in a conversation with three of my buddies last week, and I mentioned earlier that I didn't have a good week. But I just told them, you know, so what I did was I put six or seven good deeds on my calendar, and it lifted me right back up. A good friend of mine, Eddie O'Brien, he said, yeah, I did the same thing myself. And another, my great friend, Hugh Smita, he's always doing great work. And there's so many people that I hang out with that are the same way. I don't got any enjoyment trying to make Ed Morris happy. It's also an impossible subject. I can never make him happy. He's always looking for the next thing. But the way I do make Ed Morris happy is when I make someone else happy. And so... So I try to eliminate myself from my life, if that makes any sense. I don't need to serve myself. I need to serve others. And look what God did. You know, He never worried about Himself. But He said, I'm here to serve, not to be served. If you want to get happy, go do something good for somebody. And so I'm totally there. I truly am my happiest when someone needs something and I can get off my butt and go help them. It just brings great joy.
Well, it is. It's so scriptural. If you want to be blessed, bless your enemies, bless others. And that's what you've been doing with your life. I'm not trying to make you a saint, Ed. I'm just trying to show how, and I love how you share. Last week wasn't a good week, but you made the decision to put on your calendar things to do for other people. You know, it's that moment of growth when you made the decision to do something for others. But were you always like this, Ed? Did you always have that virtue of making the decision to help others?
Yeah, it's the greatest gift God ever gave me. He gave me a great faith right out of the start. I've never missed Sunday Mass in my entire life, and I'm 65. I don't say that to brag. I just say it because it's a fact. I never, ever wanted to miss. I just don't want to miss. I have an hour for him at a minimum every week, but I've never missed that. I don't even consider it. My wife's the same way. You know, we always go to church, and we'll never miss. And, but I have six kids, and they're sporadic. And I get bummed out when they don't go. But I don't let it get to me too much, because I know someday they'll go more often. Someday God will strike them, and they'll sit back and say, wow, I've really been missing out here, because there's so much beautiful things in the church. People don't go to church for a lot of reasons, but I would say the biggest reason is they have no idea what's going on in that church. They don't realize when the priest walks down to begin the Mass that all your venial sins are forgiven. Just when he simply walks down the aisle to start the Mass, everybody's at a mini confession. People don't realize that. And there's another million great gifts in the Mass that people just don't understand. So when I leave, I'm like, wow, I got all that. It didn't cost me a thing. It's so, such a great day. And so I learned. And I'd say one thing that got me really excited about Mass is I read the gospel, and I go to gospel reflections with my buddies during the week. So on Sunday, when I'm listening to the homily, I've already been with a couple of my buddies for a couple of hours, and we've all thought about the gospel. We've all talked about what it means to us. I'm ready for the Mass, and therefore I enjoy it so much more because I kind of did a pregame on it. I did my homework, and the Mass is so much more interesting. I can't wait to hear the priest's opinion of that particular gospel, because I have one, and all your listeners have one. And it's almost like competitive with me. I want to see if he nails it. I try to nail it. My friends try to nail it. But if your audience wants to have a reason to go to church, they should read the gospel beforehand, study it, think about it, and then bounce their interpretation of it off the homily that the priest gives and see how you match up. And I always walk away with a whole new perspective. I've always said about religion, everybody is so brilliant. Everybody is so brilliant. They just don't realize it. But if you spend the time studying religion or just spend the time talking about God, things will come out of your mouth that you can't believe you just said. Now, I look at this radio station. I always say, hey, Ann, what's the topic? I need to prepare for it. And you say, don't worry about it. Just get on it. We'll figure it out. Well, that's what we're doing right now. Nothing I'm saying is prepared. But I'm talking about God, and he's taking over my conversation right now. He's making it comfortable for me. He's giving me the right words. Everybody in the world has the same option. You just got to go out there and do it a couple times, and all of a sudden you'll stun yourself. I'm like, wow, I know a lot more than I thought I did. And guess what? It's awful fun talking about him.
It is, Ed. You know, you're absolutely right. You're one of the few guests that I've had over 7.5 years on this radio network and close to 10 on another one. And I know that the Holy Spirit will guide the two of us in terms of what needs to be said, because even though I don't know what you're doing day to day, I know that it's God's work. And we just have to trust that. I know at some point during our early conversation that the gears switch and it's like, okay, Ed's on Holy Spirit time now. I actually feel adjustment in the gears. It's like, okay, he's in. The Holy Spirit has him. And
you talk about a major adjustment. You know, I mentioned my buddy Lefty five years ago. He had an aneurysm. And, you know, I was just a basic guy working, coming home, kids, you know, sports, coaching, just being a guy. All of a sudden, my best friend had an aneurysm, and you talk about being surprised. Now look at me. You know, I go to church with 300-400 people. I give speeches. The great Dennis Cicchino and his band plays. You should hear Dennis. You should hear Dennis talk now. Hey, off the charts. I mean, Dennis. We send that prayer out every day. Dennis's responses are amazing. And I'm like, wow, look at those words. Look at those words from Dennis. He never knew he had it in him. But guess what? The words came out because he tried it a couple times. Farm and I laugh. When we had our very first prayer service, I had a couple sheets of loose leaf paper and notes, and I spoke to the audience. It was the worst speech anyone ever gave. I had no eye contact. I didn't say the words properly. I didn't speak well. Now 300 or 400 people show up. I walk right up to the pulpit, and I just start babbling. No sheets, no research, no nothing. Holy Spirit just takes over. And I know I'll do well because I have great intentions. And the room is filled with people that are there to help each other. And everybody gives me a mulligan. I always laugh. I said, I know you guys, if I say something wrong, you'll forgive me. Because they all know I'm trying. And I know they're trying. And Farmer's trying. And Dennis is trying. And you're trying. Everybody, we're just trying. But there's nothing wrong with approaching religion and making a lot of mistakes. Because you'll get better and better and better at it. But there's no right or wrong way. When you're doing good work, everything's great. Everything's great.
Yeah, well, as we diminish, God increases. And see, that's what I hear in your stories over the years. As you diminished, God increased. And that's what happened with your story with Lefty. You were like, I don't know what I'm doing. And look what the Lord did as you diminished. And as you diminished in terms of your prayer meetings at St. Norbert's, and you're like, I don't have anything planned. I don't have my sheets of paper. You diminish and God increases. And that's what's happened with Farmer. And we expect everyone to be praying for Farmer because he is diminished. He's weak and he's been through a lot. And we need to ask for an increase of faith from all our listeners and expect a miracle for Farmer. But sometimes I don't even know that you realize how you have diminished some, and in a positive way, in a spiritual way, in a scriptural way, you, Eddie Morris, have diminished to the point of total reliance and surrender on the Lord. Total surrender. And as I talk to you each and every time over the years on radio, that surrender is deeper and deeper. You could care less if one person showed up at that November 21st event, as long as that one person was called forth by God. You're not about the numbers. You're about what happens in the souls of the people who attend. And that's what happened to Dennis Shakino and Farmer and all the people that you've had, thousands at these special prayer meetings throughout the years. So as you continue to diminish, I can't wait to hear, you know, what's going to happen down the line. What is on your heart these days, Eddie, in terms of ministry? Is there anything in particular, or are you just kind of waiting on the Lord and listening at this point?
That's funny you say that. Yesterday, I came up with an idea. And, you know, I was studying the government a little bit, our U.S. government. And, you know, I learned yesterday that, you know, we always hear there's a bill in front of Congress. And I never really know what that meant. But I read about it this morning, actually. And you, me, your listeners, Farmer, Dennis, any of us, can write a bill and have it presented to Congress. So I thought about my days helping the addicts out in Kensington. And I said, you know what? I could write a bill because not many people really understand the problem that an addict has. You know, and I said, I would like to write a bill and have it presented to the Senate and the House of Representatives. And it's just about helping these kids out. You know, when a child is, struggling with addiction and they want to get well, let's say they get well, they don't have a car, they don't have a home to live, they don't have any money, they don't have any clothing, they don't have any food, and guess what, they don't have any friends and family left. They burnt through all of everything. So I thought, why not write a bill that absolves these kids of all their warrants and arrests and everything so they can get a job? Why would the government, what does a warrant do for a child that stole a sandwich from a Wawa because they were hungry, and now they can't get a job because they have a record? So I wonder, yesterday I said, best thing I could do for these kids is, you know, maybe get a bill approved that allows them to get their criminal records wiped clean so they can get a job, so they can get a license, so they can maybe get an apartment and start rebounding their life. And so that, to me, it's a new initiative I have, and it'll be fun trying to see how a bill can get passed through Congress and all that. But like I say, anybody in the world can write one, and I just learned that today. So I'm going to try and write one, and it'll be a fun process to see what it's like to get a bill through Congress. It's kind of hilarious thinking about it, but I could help out the kids. And to me, it'd be exciting. to try. And I the bottom line is I would love to stand in front of the Senate, stand in front of Congress, the House of Representatives, and represent these kids. I would love to give them an opportunity. So that's what drives me, a chance to help out these kids who no one helps, who no one even knows how to help. The Senate and the House of Representatives have no idea. When I talk, they won't even understand what I'm saying, because I walk the streets and pick these kids up out of the alleys and put them in my car and took them to rehab and all that. I helped them get into jail. I saw that they couldn't get jobs because they had records. I saw they had no money, no cars, and they went right back to the streets because there's no system to help them get better. So I would like to help create that game plan to help them get better, and that's what they need. I know that because of what I did. Very few people did what I did, and I saw them fail. I saw them when they were 95% gone. And so I know what they need, and I enjoy the challenge of writing that bill. So that's the newest thing on my mind.
I can't imagine the journey this will be for you. It's like climbing Mount Everest. It's huge, but if you have this zeal in your heart for these kids who have been addicted, God has placed that zeal in your heart. It's you just didn't think of it. It didn't come out of the air. Someone didn't send you an email or letter. It was placed in your heart. And that's what happened when you visited the streets of Kensington and placed the Divine Mercy images on the walls and gave the kids the rosary ring. You didn't know what would happen, but that zeal was placed in your heart. Again, as you diminish, God increases. So if this was just placed on your heart yesterday, we'll do a follow-up on this, because I know you'll go after this with everything you have. You know, and
I called a buddy of mine who's a representative in the House, and I just had one text. I said, how do you write a bill? What's the process? So I have no idea. But, I mean, I would love the opportunity to speak to a bunch of politicians and say, I represent the kids. And here's videos of me pulling them off the streets, putting them in my car. Yeah, here's videos of me and my 6,000 friends praying for them. And here's videos of them still in the streets, because no one knows what they need. But this bill will help them out. It'd be fun to try. I certainly will be proud to try.
Now, were you just sitting in prayer and then you decided to read something? How did this come about?
Well, I mean, I don't understand how the government works too much. And then, you know, I was reading about the three arms of the government, the judicial, the Congress, and the executive branches. And then one question said, well, who can the president veto a bill? And I read that. And they said, well, first of all, anybody can write a bill. And so I saw that word anybody. I said, wow, I can write a bill? And then it came right to my mind. So anybody in the world can write a bill. The president can veto it. But, gosh, I would be so honored to have a chance to write a bill that can be considered by politicians. And who in the heck would want to turn my bill down? What are you saying? You don't want to help kids? I would love someone to stare me in the face and say, I don't want to help kids. So I would love the opportunity. But it came to me when I was reading about the government, how it works, and one line said, anybody can write a bill. So to me, I was anybody.
Well, I know that we have listeners right now who may say, I want to join you. So, Ed, how would one reach you? Is it still through social media or a specific email?
Well, I have my email is eddiemo@comcast.net, eddiemo@comcast.net. I have a Facebook page where I do most of my marketing, my events. Feel free to go on that, Ed Morris. I live in Malvern, Pennsylvania. I don't even mind giving my phone number out.
No.
610. No.
No, if anyone is interested, the producer in his sign will screen it and then send it to you. We don't want to do that because now we have listeners all over the world and we're not sure, you know, exactly what's happening, but your email address is great, or your Facebook account, and also to learn about the event that you have planned, especially November 21st.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we have many members. If you say a prayer for me and our team, you become a member. So everybody's a member, and it's something we're all very proud of. One day we'll get shirts made up, and it'll be a lot bigger. But, hey, it's all great, and we've had 20, 30-plus miracles happen. You know, a great one is one of our team members knew of a baby that was born, stillborn. The baby didn't breathe for 25 minutes. We all started praying, and we had, you know, we just wanted to pray for the family. And then the baby started breathing, and we couldn't believe it. And then we knew, because the baby did not get oxygen for 25 minutes, that the baby will have a lot of damage. But we kept praying, and today the baby's absolutely perfect. It's one of our greatest victories of all time, greatest miracles. So, and there's a lot like that. So, we've seen so much. Farmer and I always say, where did they go before Team Hope? And where did people go? Where did people, your listeners, go right now when they need help? They kind of stay to themselves, maybe go to immediate family and some friends. But our friends, the second they know if someone needs a prayer, they send it to Farmer, they send it to Dennis, they send it to me, and they say, hey, please pray for Mary. And boom, Mary gets 6,000 people praying for them. And we get 30, 40 requests a week. And we always say, where did they go beforehand? And we don't know, but we're so glad to have a spot for them to go today. And so many people are satisfied with the fact that if someone needs help, they're satisfied with the fact knowing that they sent them to us for prayers. That's good enough. That is the best thing you can do. Ask for prayers.
Yes, your 6,000 plus people are a lifeline to people who have lost hope. You throw them a life preserver, and that's the life preserver of Christ and his mercy. And we're forever grateful. Eddie, I'm going to take the next minute or so to pray for you and Farmer and all the things that the Lord is leading you to, because I know you have to catch a ride to the Phillies game at 5 o'clock. So you just be still for a moment as we pray for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we pray for Eddie Morris. We pray for Tommy McCoy, Farmer. We pray for all the people involved in Team Hope. We pray for all those who've placed their petitions on the prayer line. And Jesus, we pray for the initiative that Eddie has on his heart right now. And Lord Jesus, we pray for all the kids, the drug addicts, the kids in Kensington who have nowhere to go. We place all of these desires, Lord, of his heart in your heart today, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We praise you and thank you. We ask right now that you rain down on Eddie, his family, his ministry, his friends. Rain down the graces from heaven. Allow him to sense the empowering of the Holy Spirit in his life, his family, Farmer, all the people involved. Lord Jesus, we entrust everything to you, and we thank you and praise you for Eddie and all of the things that he desires in your holy name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Eddie, I can't wait for a follow-up on this.
You're the best. You're the best. The only people that are better than you are your listeners.
Well, that's all of them.
Thank you, everybody. Great day. Great day.
God bless you and have a wonderful time.
My last point was when I got on the radio, the very first thing I did, I got in front of my car and I drove to the St. Norbert's parking lot and I did the show from the parking lot in front of the church. Makes me comfortable.
Wow. Beautiful. Well, Eddie, we love you. And again, we will be reconnecting and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I hope this was a pick-me-up show for most of you. I don't like to even use the word show. It's a program. It's a broadcast. Eddie is about to catch a ride with someone to the Phillies game, so I wanted to give him a couple minutes before he heads down. But I also wanted to tell you that next week we're going to be talking about a topic that has been, I'm not quite sure it's been discussed on radio, about the warning and the illumination of conscience. We will be talking about that in depth from the saint's perspective, from the writings of the approved mystics, and because there's a lot of discussion that's out in social media, and we have to be very, very careful about what we read and believe, especially in these times. I've read a lot of it myself, and I am concerned about what is on the streets and what we need to believe. We need to keep ourselves before the Eucharistic heart of Christ. We need to keep our souls before the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We need to be in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Please, please, if you can, enthrone your home to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Not just a picture in your house, but look it up. There are places and there are people who will enthrone your home to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now is the time, and a special time, and it's important to return to the sacraments, to make that sacrament of reconciliation. It may have been years since you went to confession, years and years, and a priest on Sunday, during his homily, talked about how many people hadn't been to confession in years. And even young kids hadn't been to confession since they made their confessions. So, my friends, this is the time to reconcile with Christ. During these difficult days, we need to be in the heart of Christ in a very special way. And this is why I wanted Eddie Morris on today. He is a hope-filled man, and the people that surround him are hope-filled. And so we need to understand that we are people of hope. We are the Easter people, regardless of what is happening in the world. We must believe and trust in the divine plan, in the divine will of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, next week, I plan on doing a comprehensive program on the warning and the illumination of conscience. And I ask that you tune in. We've touched on this topic a couple times before, but this time I'm going to get into the lives of the saints. We're going to throw out the window any false prophecies, some false things that people are saying in the name of the Lord and that are not approved by the church. And so we must value our church's teaching on this and the lives of the saints. So I ask that you be with us next week. Now, tomorrow is the golf outing for In His Sign Catholic Radio Network at Tallamore Country Club. And I hear that it is amazing. An amazing number of golfers are going to be there. It will be a wonderful time. And Kathleen will not be live tomorrow. So, my friends, until next Monday, may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.